Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome everyone to Strictly Hoops with CJ Miles. What you're listening to right there, that's Wusa from the man himself, Mas Fresco. Check it out on Apple Music. Where else can they find it?
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Shameless plug. It's on every platform.
Welcome everyone once again to Strictly Hoops with CJ Miles. Rate, review, subscribe on your podcast platforms, YouTube. Watch it there because it's a great experience. You get to see myself and CJ doing our thing. We're happy people. Go lucky people. Thanks. And so are the Raptors. Look, three wins in a row, yo. Three wins. First time they've done that all season. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm good, man. You know, like you said, three wins in a row.
Like the first time this season.
You can't win one in a row. Can't win two in a row until you win one. Can't win three until you win two. Yeah, you got to stack them up, man. It's one game, one foot after the other.
Actually, shout out to him. I think he just got, I think he's an assistant general manager now with the Atlanta Hawks. I think that was just announced not too long ago. Let me verify that. But
I think the last thing I saw, he was doing some stuff with the Nets, right? He was up there helping Ben Simmons, and I think he was kind of doing some consulting stuff. But that's dope if he
Yeah,
is.
The Hawks are finalizing the deal to make Kyle Korver an assistant general manager.
Man, that's crazy.
Good for him.
Yeah, man. It's also wild to see all these guys that I play with, like just on, gone and doing all this different stuff. Yeah. You know, there's like all the guys I know left in the league just from being, they were like the young boys. I don't like all the guys that are my vets are like far gone.
Sure. I mean, as you disclosed on last episode, the one before that, you have your opportunity too to do a little bit of stuff like that. You could be in with a team or something like that. But that time will come. I'm sure. That's the difference. There's plenty of Raptors stuff to talk about right now. That's why we talk about people making three pointers. Ooh, right? Right. Man, you said it would come around, but I mean, at some point I was like, CJ, is it going to? Is it going to? Because TikTok, man, we are almost at the halfway point of the season and they're still missing.
Yeah. You don't know when or what going to trigger it, but like, you know, we know shooting is 90% confidence. Yeah. Maybe even more. It's about reps, repetition. And I know they get in the reps, and then you get a guy that gets going. Like OG has six threes in the one night, and it kind of gets contagious. And everybody shoots with more confidence, and then that makes the offense pop different.
Exactly.
Because everybody's got confidence in being able to make open shots.
Yeah. Well, it seems like they have now committed, I think at least, to the OG starting lineup. That's with Gary Trent Jr. in there. So I think he's in the starting lineup. For the foreseeable future, which I think is probably the smartest move for the team. I think with him, and you and I have talked about, like, maybe the move to the bench was good holistically for the Raptors, but I think it's fair to say, and you, I think you've talked about this as well, that he is a valuable member of what this Raptors team is. The idea of moving him to the bench was to kind of spread the wealth a little bit, even out, like you need some bench scoring. So he would help with that. There was a bit of muddying of the waters in a sense with all the starters. There's so much talent there and there wasn't enough ball to go around. And so you do something like that, it would even it out, but actually it didn't go very well in the long run. Gary has found his way. He got healthy. He started feeling good and now he's playing pretty well. Last night, he didn't shoot very well, but I mean, we'll get to some of that stuff in a second, but overall, your faith in the squad, what we've seen the past three games, they've beaten the Charlotte Hornets and the Portland Trail Blazers. The offense has looked much better, but you got to keep the opponent in mind. They got a tougher stretch coming up here, Knicks a few times, Bucks. But do you think they've turned a corner? Is there reason to believe that this is a bit different than any of the two game winning streaks we've seen earlier on the season?
I mean, three in a row is a corner, no matter how you want to put it.
Yeah.
Especially when we haven't done it all year and we're going through, especially we're right now. Sure. What we're going through, this is substantially better than where we were a week ago. A week and a half, you know what I mean? So I don't care how small it is or whatever you want to call it. I know we used to winning and we got a certain thing that we want to be and want to do, but we got to take,
yeah,
take this for what it is right now. You know, we doing something better. These are still NBA teams. We doing something right. We got some confidence going. You know, we can turn 3 into 5,
mm-hmm,
5 into 8, you know, and we can go on a run. And now this whole season is totally different.
Yeah.
But, you know, you gotta take it, you know, little chunks at a time, break down your opponents and keep going.
And shot making, I think, has been the biggest issue to me, I think, you know, throughout this season because of how odd it's been for the Raptors. Like, they haven't been losing like this since like 2012, I believe. And so when that's happening, everyone's going to be like, it's this, no, it's that, no, it's this. And to me, it's, mm-hmm, has always come down to their half-court offense and the lack of production that's been generating, and also just like shot making in general, because I think that's influencing their transition defense, their defense as a whole, their spirit. When the shots aren't falling, man, like, it's just simple. Like, you got to hit shots to win games, and the days of winning games, like, when, you know, 70 to 62 are way over, we're talking like nonstop about, you know, how many players these days are putting up 40 points in a game, right? It's at a historic rate right now.
Dame, yeah, was it like the 19th something game? Somebody, Dame had 50, and that was like the, it's like nobody's, yeah, the way, yeah, they play, the way the game is played right now,
you up need and to down, score
tempo,
yeah,
the amount of shots, the amount of attempts, like, you can't come away empty handed, especially with his threes being shot. We talk about 10-0 runs in 3 possessions.
That's,
you know what I mean? If we being real about it, you know what I'm saying? We talking about 10. That's 3 possessions can happen in 40 seconds.
It's true.
You know what I mean? That's why you see these crazy Warrior segments where they push leads from 4 to 20, and it's like a 2.5 minute flurry of just them playing with such a pace and such a amount of movement. It makes just opportunities. And even when they miss shots, they're such good shots. Everybody's confidence is still high.
Yeah.
That's the kind of bop you want to have with your offense, which I have court. It's like, that confidence comes from making shots too, though. So it's a catch. It's a weird space, but they set the precedent for that.
And now everyone's doing it. Everyone's capable of putting up a 10-0 run in a minute and a half. And that's where the Raptors have been lacking due to shot making. You know, it's fun to see, you know, they get like, you know, have a streak of like 10 made 2-point buckets. But that's not the same as another team that's going to have like 5 buckets, but they're all going to be threes. It's just different, right? Mm-hmm. It's different pacing to their offense. And now, I mean, I don't want to get too ahead of myself. And I've sent a few tweets over the past like 24 hours, just being like, okay, like, obviously the opponent has to be kept in mind, but their process in their half-court offense is very different. Just a few numbers, because I think numbers are relevant with what I'm talking about here, is if you look at the past 3 games versus the rest of the regular season in terms of the Raptors per game averages, they're averaging like, I don't know, another 40 touches per game. Secondary assists are way up. Passes made per game are way up. Their effective field goal percentage is way up. Their offensive rating is way up. Their points per 100 half court plays is up from 91.8 or 112.1. That is a considerable increase. And even if you just look at the product itself, it's very different. What are you seeing?
I don't even have the right, like, I was trying to put together everything you were saying. I don't even have the right, like, answer for it right now. I just think it's just the offense is just, it goes. So there's just these spaces where they just can't, it seems like they don't remember.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's these lulls and there's these times, or when you have guys that are talented or growing into a talented space where they do things by themselves, you kind of want to give them that, because there's a trust in that too. So you want to get out of Pascal's way, you want to get out of Gary's way, you want to get out of Fred's way, even OG's way when he's in certain things. And when you get to standing and watching guys like that and start depending on just that, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, no matter, like, and we'll have these other times where it's popping around, we're getting up and down, there's stops happening, there's 3-4 passes to an open shot, backdoor cuts, these things with this energy, right? And that comes from everybody feeling like they're in a space where I'm going to get mine without having to do all that work. Like, I feel it.
Yeah.
Like, the pace is so high, there's so many chances.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's getting 18 shots. Like, and then guys coming off the bench are getting 12, 13 shots.
Yeah.
Like, if that's the way, if you can play with that type of pace, then we don't have to worry about people trusting and buying in all the time.
Yeah.
We can, everybody's getting their just due. There's so much food. Like,
sure.
Everybody's going to eat.
It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Man, stuffing all year.
Well, that's what the great Kevin Durant once said, is I'm not sure why we don't eat stuffing all year. And I agree. But you look at that Warriors team with Kevin Durant, and what was so beautiful about them is obviously the talent, but they were so unselfish. And sometimes it was Clay going off for 35. It was Steph on another night going for 40. And then it was KD, you know, doing 50 sometimes, right? And now the Raptors obviously aren't the same kind of thing, but when everybody is touching the ball and everyone feels involved, and that is happening through, you know, not holding onto the ball so much, you're moving without the ball, backdoor cuts, there's more off-ball screening, there's on-ball screening. When all these things are happening, everyone's involved. And I mean, I'm gonna ask you, do you not think that when it comes to shot making, a player is more likely to make shots if they're touching the ball 3-4 times in a possession versus one? Just touching the ball.
I think being involved in the plays definitely helps you find a rhythm.
Yeah.
Being more movement and more things that get the ball just moving and getting to be able to touch it, to feel like even you not scoring on the possession, you still had a part in it.
Mm-hmm.
You start to feel the spacing. You start to feel, okay, he just got a backdoor cut because I did this. If he helps on a pick and roll, I know I can raise here. Like, the more I'm involved in it, the more I can see opportunities that don't demand me stopping the ball.
Sure.
And then on the side note, like, with a guy who does get it going, it's the exact opposite. You don't see that enough. Like, a guy gets it going, we need to do whatever we can do. Everybody's got to recognize that.
Mm.
So, like, now that's another reason why that guy might start to feel like he's demanding shots or stopping the ball, because he made two of his last three and nobody tried to make an effort to get him. You know what I mean? I feel like I got it going. Like, not to make this a Warriors thing, but, you know, the Warriors, they're the best team I ever seen at doing that. A guy's got it going, they will exhaust every option to get that guy the ball in a possession.
Sure.
Guys will pass up shots to get that guy the ball. And if he misses one, they'll get him another one just to make sure that it was just the, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's
They got flamethrowers.
This is right? Also true. This is true. Yeah. But I think there's a confidence that you build in your teammate by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a trust that I'm building. Like, nah, I'm Steph Curry, but you got it going.
Right.
It's like, I recognize that. I'm Fred Van Fleet. You got it going. I recognize that. I'm going to get you the ball as many times as I can in that stretch, because that's the best play for us to win the game.
Yeah. It does seem like there's just a lot more continuity, and they're playing as a unit. Like, it seems like there is an actual identity now. Before, there was an identity, but it was just isolation basketball. And there's so many players just standing there. You're not seeing a lot of player movement. And now, what I actually love most about this is that when you look at their possessions, the paint and everything around the restricted area is wide open. There's no player standing there. And the ways in which they're clearing sides and getting players moving into space and then orchestrating offense, that's where it's really, really nice to see. Is that's where the continuity comes, the cohesion. It seems like there is an identity and a style of play forming with the Raptors, and it's been happening like pretty quickly here. Because even like 2 weeks ago, we weren't seeing them doing what they're doing now. I mentioned the stats that I mentioned earlier. They weren't playing like this. And it seems like there has been just a change in the formula of their offense. I don't think the players in the starting lineup, I don't think they're selfish players. That's what was so puzzling about all this. Because even last season, they didn't have a half-court offense, but it was better than this. And so I'm like, what is going on here? And I've talked about it. I'm like, I wonder if it's just scheme, you know, their actions, their sets. I think they're just not being utilized properly. And maybe that is what we're seeing now, is that they're all being involved more. They're all, you know, willing, capable screeners. And this is the product of it. I love seeing Gary Trent Jr. like do backdoor cuts. He did two last night. Scottie Barnes found him on both occasions. And when you and I talked about, you know, how far are the Raptors from the Boston Celtics half court offense, and you're like, it's not much. And I think this is what we're seeing now. Like, it isn't a lot you got to do. It's process. It's doing things with purpose. And then just like being creative. And a lot of these things, you can talk about it from a coaching staff standpoint, and like you tell the players at halftime, and you can talk to them on the bench and before games, but sometimes it is just on the player to go ahead and do them. And it seems like there is a bit more autonomy for them to make a backdoor cut, right, for Gary Trent Jr., where he's been able to get a few buckets out of it.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, like, I don't think there's, like, we talk about the ISO offense and guys being in these positions. I don't think that, like you said, those guys are not selfish. That's, which is weird. Even when I got there, that was a big problem with it. They hated, people were mad about, I shouldn't say people, but, like, we weren't producing more with the way we were playing with Debo. Like, he was an isolation mid-range guy, and he was tremendous. It was great. You won a lot of games playing that way. Like, it's proving you can be successful. But, like, at the end of the day, it's hard for a championship offense to come out of that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just hard. Like, you've seen Luka try it. You've seen James Harden try it. Debo in Toronto. Sometimes you see, some nights you see Pascal do it. It's going to be nice. Those guys can win you games. But to win a whole, to have a winning season, go through the playoffs, win a championship, yeah, it's hard to have an offense where guys stand around and watch that. Like, why would I backdoor cut in the middle of an ISO? Like, if there's no move, no other movement, I'm going to run into somebody. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I can't see that.
Yeah.
And I think it's just they put themselves in a position by being so talented, too. Like, by being so good one-on-one in the mid-range, if I'm Pascal, of course I'm going to get out of Pascal's way.
Yeah.
And stand here and wait for somebody to go double. Like, it makes sense.
Mm. He put up a crazy efficient game last night. 11 of 13, 35 points. And it was effortless. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, not effortless, yeah, obviously. But, like, I tweeted about this. I would love to get to a point where Pascal Siakam is putting up 25-plus each game, and it feels quiet because everyone's eating. Everyone's getting their opportunities. He's hitting a few catch-and-shoot threes. That's actually been pretty good the past few weeks. He was 3-of-3 last night. He's getting to the free-throw line. He's just, like, finding his spots. He's drawing so many fouls now. Maybe a little bit of respect from the officials. Man. I don't know. Because he certainly earned it, but he only had 3 assists last night, right? And that's not a bad thing. It's because Scotty Barnes had 8 and Fred VanVleet had 9 and OG had 4. Like, these are good signs.
Those are signs of everybody being involved.
Exactly. And one person that I think has probably made the biggest change in terms of their production is Scotty Barnes. I think the Raptors are using him pretty differently. And I asked him about this last week or week before. And I asked him about, like, you know, his process, because we were coming off the Bucks game where he had that, like, huge burst of scoring. He had, like, you know, 15 in like 8 minutes. But before that, he wasn't even, like, remotely looking to score the ball. And there were cases where, like, they're playing a really deep drop on him and he's not shooting the ball. And I asked him about that. I'm like, how do you decide what your process is and, like, when you're going to play make versus when you're going to score? And I think this was the early stages of what we're seeing now, is that the Raptors were looking for him to become something of a Marc Gasol with what he was with the Toronto Raptors, that they next action big, set screens, and just keep the ball moving. And it's been profitable for the Raptors so far.
I mean, with the guys that are around him,
yeah,
he's most effective that way now anyway. Mm-hmm. I know there's these things you want to add to his game and things he has added to his game and things he can do, but as a unit and you, we are more productive with you playing this way.
Yeah.
Ball movement, even your scoring is going up because of the opportunities you're getting, because the ball is just in your hands, faster, quicker decisions, and there's no standing around. I think it's just about understanding that and being able to just pick your spots, because it can get to a point where he's averaging 18 to 20 quiet. Just because we run 3 or 4 actions throughout the game, we just run them so well that we just pick them apart. You don't have to have these set plays all the time. And then we can get you moving with that pace where the ball's moving, not sticking, and you changing size and you doing different things. You're going to create so many opportunities for yourself just from being at the pace. Just because guys don't want to guard it. Because we know, and we're playing in a don't foul league. Like, don't foul. Like, let's get it out. Let's go. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, that's how it goes. Yeah.
Mm. He's a really good screener, right?
Mm-hmm. And I really think that's screener. A big space with the spacing play with now, because of his playmaking skills, him setting really high pick and rolls, and if the guards can't turn the corner, they throw it back to him, and now he's got the whole middle of the floor to play with.
Yeah.
He can go attack his guy, change size, help comes. He got 2 shooters, maybe 1 shooter on the other side, depending on the setup. But, like, I think it creates such a dynamic for him that it also takes that ISO feeling out of the play. Sure. Like, oh, everybody's looking at me and I got to overthink my move. Like, now I just catch him. I only see 1 defender and I just go make a play.
Yeah. What are the advantages of having a playmaking big like him? I'm calling him a big. I mean, he's playing center, so let's call him a playmaking big. What are the advantages of having someone like him, Sabonis, Jokic, being that kind of facilitator versus a point guard?
I think we keep talking about pace, but I think at some point it speeds up the pace the other guys can play with, because now you got your biggest guy out of the equation.
Interesting.
So, you know what I mean? So, like, now how fast we can change sides, like get that guy to the other side, a set a different screen and different things we can do. And everybody wants to switch. So, like, you know, they're kind of like almost zoned up. So even the guy guarding the ball is backed off, which is an advantage too, because now I see the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Now you want to go crowd Jokic. Like, these guys are crafty enough to get by guys their own size and do different things. I know if he's playing point guard, I can't put a point guard on him, because then I'm going to have to go guard him in the post. It creates all these different dynamics that allow you to almost play anybody on the floor. Like, you look at who Denver will have, like, it'll be Jokic is, I guess he's the point guard. I don't know what you want to call him, but he's a ball handler.
He's
and
MVP is what he is.
Aaron Gordon is like the five.
Yeah.
He's the one ducking in, posting up in the screen and rolls, he's the one doing the dirty work of that nature. And you got Jamal Murray running around now, who's getting healthy and shooting the ball the way he shoots the ball. There's like that team is built. It's made, what's the kid's name with the headband? Is it Brown? Because Brown plays the way he plays with Jokic being the point guard, he turns that guy into a 15 to 18 night scorer because he just moves.
Oh, they knew exactly what they were doing when they got him. That was pickup for the Nuggets.
And he can be the roller.
Yeah.
And he's making threes this year. Stand still.
Yeah. I love the Nuggets. I love watching them play. Yeah. They're my favorite right now. If they stay healthy, they're my favorite.
You think so? It's just one of those things that they don't ever scream championship to me, though.
That's because they haven't won one yet, no?
No. I know that. But I'm just mean, like, you know, you look at the teams like, ah, that one can – they could definitely, you know what I mean? Like, that, it doesn't give me that. It's like, I'm like, they're really, really good. That's how I feel about them. It's like, it's something not, I can't see. And I could be just, I don't watch them enough. That could be that too. Like, I'm not saying they're not a championship team. They're clearly close.
I look at, you know, formula of just like a side Nuggets rant, but I look at formula of winning, and I think they have a lot of pieces, a lot of check marks on what you need from a starting lineup standpoint. The reason why they're just crushing people with their half court offense is because, like, they have one of the best half court offenses in the NBA, probably the best one. And when you have Jokic, who could get you 15 assists or 30 points on any given night,
or both.
Yeah. And you're picking which one do you want to see happen? Jamal Murray as your secondary scorer, who's become very efficient. Michael Porter Jr. is as, you know, explosive as a scorer as could be. I mean, he's not shooting too well so far this year, but there's obviously lots of time. And then Aaron Gordon, Bruce Brown, and KCP, they're just like great role players for that team.
KCP's been great for them. Yeah. And Aaron Gordon's having like one of the best seasons of his career this year.
Uh-huh.
I think I saw
like 100%.
Like, he's like having one of his best seasons. Like,
yeah, it's going to come down to defense for them, but offensively, like, they might be able to just score people out of the building.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Who knows?
It's going to come down to Jokic defensively.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. They're going to pick on him. When the playoffs come, they'll run a whole fourth quarter searching him out in pick and rolls if they have to. He's going to have to prove to me that he wants to win the championship. That's basically what it's going to come down to with him.
That is very true. The Fred VanVleet and Scottie Barnes pick and roll has been pretty good so far during this like new identity stretch for the Raptors. Last night, I think damn near every single bucket that Scottie got was off a Fred VanVleet pass. And this is a case where, like, okay, so a team's going to look at that footage and they're going to say, okay, we got to nullify that advantage, right? But then the reason why you can't play like a deep drop or a drop really against that pick and roll is that you still got Fred as a shooter. And so Scottie setting good screens, the guard or the person guarding Fred can't get over the screen because the screen is set well, or maybe you're doing like the screen higher. Now Fred has a pull-up jumper from three or from 2-point range, and now, or maybe he's going to be going one-on-one against a big. And it's an interesting combination. It's the reason why we love the Fred and Pascal pick and roll. It puts teams in a bind with the amount of ways that they can get you. And it's going to be up to two pretty smart players to just kind of snuff that out game by game, but you have options with it. And obviously teams, if you're looking at, you know, what a team's going to want to do with something like this, they're going to want to get, you know, Fred going to the basket, trying to convert over big bodies, or they're going to challenge Scotty Barnes to hit like pull-up shots from 2-point range or three or something like that. But I mean, Scotty, if he's trusting himself, and he wasn't doing it for a few games, but if he's trusting his mid-range jumper, and I think he should, I mean, you're going to be able to bend defenses with that. You're going to occupy them, and then you're going to be able to – Scotty's going to be able to do his thing like he did last night.
Yeah, he creates such a – so the other advantage you have of a mobile five like that is that he – the way we can get in and out of screens is I can flip them. I got enough – my feet are good enough to change. If you try to change the way you're guarding it, or I can get out in a roll fast, hard downhill. I can pop, catch. You got to close out. I can drive the guy. You can't just double the point guard because I can make an open shot. You know, I create pretty much every option out of a pick and roll you created with him in the Pascal. Pascal is even more so because Pascal can makes the three at a higher clip. So, like, now that's an even bigger dynamic with that with him. But I think as far as Scotty, all his skills – or his greater skills, yes, so a lot. His greater skills as a playmaker and playing downhill are brought to light in the pick and roll because he gets to catch the ball moving like we talked about earlier. There's space. I'm getting out, rolling hard or popping to the mid-range, and now I got, you know, just a reaction. I don't have to, like, stand there and, like, probe.
Sure.
I'm open, I shoot it. I'm not, I drive it. He's open, I pass it. Like, it puts me in a position of movement.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I was saying some of those stats earlier. His average dribbles per touch during the last three games is at 1.49, but on the season, it's 2.63. And similar with Fred, average dribbles per touch, 3.96 for the season, 3.36 for during this last three-game stretch. So both those players, and I mean, those are your two playmakers, right? They're getting off the ball early and they're keeping it moving. And as we talk about, you know, how do you make good offensive decisions? It is about getting everyone involved, keeping the ball moving. And really everyone, like, no one's holding the ball very much. And if they are, then it's good they have an advantage and they're going to be able to cook somebody. But in the end, they're just getting things moving so much faster. And the pace and the tempo of their offense is dramatically improved. And I don't think that's going to change. If they're playing the Bucks, the Knicks, whoever, these are just things that you're doing with your offense. Right. And you just keep on, you know, running your sets, running your next actions and just finding your advantage. And you're relying on Scotty and Fred to make those decisions. And then guess what? If there's 10 seconds left on the shot clock and you don't know where to go, there's Pascal Siakam who's capable of putting up 40 on any given night. Yeah. So
it can't change when you play other people. That's the thing. Like,
yeah,
it can't. That's one of the things that it has to become. It has to become, this is how we play.
Yeah. That's true.
And we're good enough against any type of defense to play this way. And which is true because of the type of guys, the caliber of guys you have in these actions. There's not, we're going to match up evenly some nights, but for the most part, I'm going to be greater than my matchup in this situation. It's so much harder to guard guys on the move. Like, defense can't get set in shells. You can't have double teams ready unless you jump out on a handoff and that puts you in a bad spot defensively anyway. even with shooters and screeners, it creates havoc, makes people communicate, and defenses don't like to communicate. It's what you hear everybody preaching about the whole time. Talk to each other, talk to each other. Yeah. So you know this is a problem. Attack it.
So a few days ago, you put something on IG. It was a photo of you and Fred VanVleet. Why did you do that?
Because that's my man.
Why now? Why now?
That's my guy. Like, I'm just saying, like, just one, everybody calm down. Like, calm the hell down. Like, you know what I mean? But, like, at the same time, showing where, you know, where my allegiance is. Like, that's my guy. Like, yeah. I ain't need to tag him and make no caption and all of that. Like, that's just, like, me showing support to my guy. Like, it was nothing really. It was that more than anything. Like, you know, man, I ain't got to tell him, like, hey, look, I'm doing, I ain't do none of that. It's just like, look, man, that's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my people. He going through it, but I, the bet on himself, the side that always win.
Yeah. The opinions on him are puzzling because I understand, you know, the fan base and how they feel about his shooting performances and how, I mean, there have been several occasions this season, like, I mean, we can't deny this, that he's been relied on to hit like that shot late in games, and he hasn't been able to hit them. And there's been a lot of like 2 of 11s from three, and that's been going on for a good portion of the season. The past few games have been a little bit different. And there was stretches where it's not like that, right? It's actually much improved, but then maybe there's a regression. And I don't know, with Fred, like, he's done so much for the franchise, and there's been such a long relationship between the Raptors and him, and things have been so good. But now we're getting to a point where there's like this division between some members of the fan base, between like Fred and Scotty Barnes. And it's like, you can't have both is kind of the feeling I'm getting. And like the past, you know, last night's a great example is that Scotty Barnes was like one of the engines of the offense. He takes, I don't know, like 18 shots or something like that. And Fred takes like 7, right? Mm-hmm. He shoots 3 of 7. He hits one, you know, big three late in the game. To kind of seal it. But then people are going to be online saying, well, this is why, you know, Scotty should not. Hello.
I heard her outside of the door. I knew she's about to come in here and do something too.
Like, that's cool. for those listening, that was your wife, right?
Yeah, my wife came in.
Came in and said hello.
I think she's about to go to lunch with one of her friends, I think, or something.
Yeah. Go do your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, just it seems like people are kind of souring on Fred. Like, they're not really feeling like he's a big part of what the Raptors are offensively. So, I mean, first off, as a person who probably knows, who understands this a little bit at a different IQ than all of us because of your NBA experience, how much is Fred doing in the Raptors offense?
I mean, I think you got to, like, we talked about having 9 assists last game.
Yeah.
We talk about a lot of things also, just like, the headiness of him, like the way he sees the floor, the things he gets them into, the situations that he carves out aren't always going to come up in the stat sheet. These are things you got to get from watching the game. Like, I mean, there's going to be plays, there's going to be back screens, there's going to be just a movement from the corner to the wing that sets up a play. There's so many things just his experience allows him to create for you without actually having to dribble the ball and make shots for every single play. Yeah, I know there's a stretch, you know, you're missing shots, and I know everybody want to see you make shots. Like, that's part of the job, like, make your shots. So I get it. But, like, these things, it happens this way. Now, if I can't create anything else for you by being on the floor, that's different. That's different. Like, I wouldn't be out here if I was a negative. Like, I think, and I know a fan base, that's hard to see. Like, it's hard to, I'm watching the game and I'm like, bro, you should have, it was a minute left. We were up 1. You make this shot, it seals it for us. And you miss, like, that's what I see as a fan.
Yeah, that's tangible. Like, right, yeah, you see it right
I
there.
I feel that. I felt it, like, right away, because it's the emotion of the game. He knew he needed to make that shot, too. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but, like, I get it. So, no one play wins or loses a game either. You know, like, the situations come from the situations prior. Like, so, I just think it's just a space that you got to understand that man is help take a team to a championship. He's seen the mountaintop. Got to trust in the lows and trust that he's going to come out of this. He's seen everything.
Yeah. That's where I get to, is that he's seen everything. He's seen so much. And now it seems like he's a pretty malleable member of the half court offense, because he's like a calming energy, right? When things aren't really going. And I mean, the past few games have been easy, right? Like you're facing the Charlotte Hornets, Portland Trailblazers, two teams that aren't great defensively, and things are just flowing. But what happens when you face the Milwaukee Bucks like you do next week in Milwaukee, and maybe they're healthy and it's going to be a lot harder now? That's where I think you're going to see the calming energy of a Fred VanVleet, mm-hmm. when the Raptors are still getting good half court possessions despite being against a much better defense. And when it comes to like watching film and just like snuffing things out ahead of time, like in pregame, the days leading up to a game, like I'm almost certain that Fred is a person going up to players and saying, keep these things in mind when we're facing the Bucks, because this is what 100%. I saw, right? And 100%. There are players who do that, right? Like Kyle was that 100%. Guy when you were in Toronto, right?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. You want that. So being an extension of the coach and what our game plan is and what we're trying to do, and then also having the sight just to be able to have a feel and keep a pulse on the game and understand what's going on and understand what even might be thrown at me. Not even what they've been doing, what they might do. If I already seen enough to see that space, it changes the game completely, especially when it comes down to the playoffs and big games, when it's just about making plays, winning games, playing on the fly. Like, it ain't nothing we can draw up. It ain't nothing they don't know about us that we don't know about them. Like, you know what I mean? It's just about us. Who gonna be better tonight?
Yeah. Yeah. You've mentioned that before too, that at some point in these big game situations with 3 minutes left, it's about making a play. Mm-hmm. And making a play can be anything, but it's about making a play. It's that steal, that rotation, that hedge, that rebound, mm-hmm. that closeout. All these things matter so much. And Fred, being such a high basketball IQ player, he's going to do all those things. He's going to be the person who makes a play. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's like we're having the same conversation about Kyle Lowry when Raptor fans were defending him to the entire NBA, when people are like, why is he so good? What are you talking? Why is he an all-star when he has like constant lines of 12 points, 7 assists and 3 rebounds? Like, you guys don't get it. And we're entering that space again we're entering that space with Fred, but it's with Raptor fans, not with the NBA as a whole. It's with Raptor fans.
But it was like that when Kyle had a little bit of struggle with shooting, and he's trying to have a stretch, go a few games. It was the same way.
You're right.
It was he was treated the same way. It was like, well, he was still taking charges, still getting 8-9 assists, still rebounding, still doing all the stuff. But if he was 1-for-7 for 3, because it's the 3-pointer, it's the shot. Like, that's what I see. Mm. I saw you miss that shot. I didn't see you switch 3 times on defense, tag the roller, and be in position to break up the live play they were trying to run. I didn't see that. Or I didn't see you call out. I didn't hear you call out the play they called and told everybody was about to happen. You know what I mean? Like, I can't see that from my TV.
Yeah. Fred has stressed to us that he's still the exact same player that he was before his injury last season, right? And that's when the Raptor season took a turn, because he wasn't the same player, and he was an all-star last year. So December 2021, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists. Then January, where he really clinched his all-star appearance, he played 40 minutes per game in January, 24 points, 4 rebounds, again, 8 assists. So he is still that player, but we're entering this phase of the Raptors within what they're trying to do, and they're trying to find ways to utilize everybody, and he's being asked to do a lot less on-ball stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's so many occasions last season and also earlier in the season where, like, you know, possessions aren't going well. They double Pascal, or just there isn't a lot of player movement. And there's Fred with the ball with 10 seconds left, and he has to make a play. And I think some people look at that as him being selfish, saying, I'm going to go do something now. He's like, no, but they didn't have options. There weren't options. Like, when you have the ball in your hands, no one's moving, nothing's happening. And it's like Fred looking at a big, whoever's in front of him, he's like, well, I guess I got to do this now. And you just hope for the best. And he was saddled with that responsibility a lot. And the fact it's not happening now is good, right? I don't, I don't think it's good that he only took 8 shots last night. I think there's probably, maybe that could just be like game flow kind of a thing, but he only took like two threes. You want to see Fred still around 7-8.
But yeah, that's going to happen if we're going to play like the way we're talking about. Like chasing the flow, chasing the game, chasing the matchup, just playing free. And they're going to be nights where the defense is not going to present shots to you. There's going to be nights. It's going to be nice. You're going to do everything you're supposed to do. You're going to move the right way. They're just locked in on you, or just the way some things before unfolded. It's just not going to present this 15 shots tonight. And it could be 7 one night. And next game, it could be 21.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the way that team defends. That's the thing. Like, if we're going to play the same every night, and it's going to be, and that involves us attacking the defenses, things are going to change because defenses are going to change.
Definitely.
It's a weird, like, it's the same, but it's different every night. Yeah. Like you know what I mean? So that's not a bad thing. And winning a game shouldn't upset nobody either.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's from, like, the other side, the fan base. You're saying, like, well, he didn't take that many shots. These numbers still aren't that great. That's not the point. Like, if I don't have to have Pascal take 35 shots, hard shots to win me the game, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen. I'd rather him shoot 11 for 13.
Yeah. A quiet 35.
You know what I mean? I don't want I know that's the hero look of it, like the guy save. And it's gonna be nice, he's gonna save us like that. It's gonna be nice, he's gonna be so opposing, he's gonna do that. But like, I don't want to have to do that. Well, not for my team.
And we just talked about the Fred and Scotty pick and roll and how it was defended last night. Next game against the Atlanta Hawks, they could do it differently. They got Clint Capella, right? So maybe they are in some kind of a drop. I don't think they want to have Clint Capella going to the level against Fred, so they're probably going to be in some kind of drop. Maybe Fred ends up taking 8 threes. Maybe he makes 5 of them. Guess what? Now look at that. That's 15 points. That just happened. And so this is what you're talking about, is that you do play the same way, but there's decisions being made within that structure, and that's where Fred thrives. He's going to make the right decisions.
He's going to make the right decisions. That's the one thing he's going to do. Like, and we'd be talking about that more if he was shooting better right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the biggest thing. Because now you can try to, if you look at his numbers, you can say him shooting wasn't the best decision because he missed it. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, in hindsight, you can say that. But you can say, why does he keep shooting? Like, he's not making good decisions. No, that was the best decision in the situation.
Exactly.
Was my shot. That was the best shot. Yeah. That's what you want in every possession, the best shot. Because people make a lot of bad shots also.
Yo, Terry Rozier, past 2 games, I don't think he took 1 good shot, but he went off in both games.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, now we get to say, because it went in, oh, he's great. Not to say he isn't, because he's making hard shots, but that doesn't mean it was a good shot. It was probably a better shot. He just made it. Mm-hmm.
Lingering over all this is the fact that he has a player option after this season. And there have been a lot of conversations around, you know, what he's going to do, the offers and things like that. There's a piece that was published from Tim Bontemps, I believe, of ESPN. And Fred kind of put on the table saying, like, look, I'm not going to make it easy on them, and they're not going to make it easy on me. But we're going to talk about this after the season. And that kind of language, I think, would probably, between that and also Scotty, you know, embracing this playmaking role, and like, he wants to be a Magic Johnson type. Magic Johnson was a point guard. So you're just from that, like, kind of stuff, you wonder, like, is there a space for Fred? And even within Vision 6-9, he is an outlier, right? He doesn't really fit with that. And with the contract stuff and everything we're talking about, there is reason why I think some people will be like, what is Fred's future with the Raptors? We don't got to get into that too much, but I think that is part of the conversation around him, is he's even going to be here next season.
I think we also got to, like, his language, the wording coming from him is not business no more, because the player said it that way.
Yeah.
I think that doesn't mean that he don't want to be there or that they don't want him, but I think it's the business side of it.
Yeah.
Like, you treat it that way, and you keep, like, it's a weird space for the players to speak that way. I mean, it's not, but, like, I think it's taken weirdly, because it's almost like that's the player. He shouldn't be talking like, well, you brought the business question to me, so I answered it.
What you know want what me mean? To do, right?
Yeah, like, you want me to say
– no comment?
Yeah. Or you want me to be like, yeah, I'll take whatever they give me. Like, no, that's not what I'm going to do. Or vice versa, they're going to take whatever I say. That's not what's going to happen. It is business. Like, I think It's weird. And I think that's why he didn't want to talk about it.
No. And I think that's reality. He shouldn't need to talk about it. And him saying, I'm going to make it hard on them and they're going to make it hard on me. That's how every negotiation goes. That's how it is. But another part of the Raptors and their success so far during this recent stretch is bench production. And they got Precious back. They've tried a few different lineups. Christian Coloco, who, by the way, I spoke to a few days ago. You guys can check it out, the interview on YouTube. He was delightful. Really, really smart kid. As I said to him, 22 going on 30. Guy's so mature for his age. He's going to be a good one. But they've tried a few different lineups out. One was, you know, Gary Trent Jr. with four other bench players. It was Malachi Flynn, Precious, Coloco, and Chris Boucher. That had some legs, but last night they did things a little bit differently. That could have just simply been because they were facing Charlotte in one of these, like, you know, back-to-back situations where you don't want to let them know what you're doing. But also, I mean, this play style does help the Raptors use some of their bench players more effectively.
Yeah, I mean, I think it brings on a continuity that allows you to give these different looks and to be able to throw people off their rocker a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and it gives guys on your team to be able to play different ways. So some nights, you know, the guys that have got it going, shooting it well from the corners, we can start to make things interchangeable as the game goes, because everybody's got a feel of the floor. And now, right, I can mix lineups down the stretch later a little bit better, because I've got guys in this rhythm where I can trust them to throw them in the game. It presents a situation where, yeah, we can mix and mingle guys better because they've had a rhythm from being in the game and being able to get their own touches and produce their own shots from just us playing a certain way. And now I can put in a guy who's 4 for 5 in the fourth quarter if somebody else is not shooting it well. I can sub an offense defense type situation. I can do these things. And I think that's what having that whole second unit provides. And it just provides a fresh punch some nights. Like you said, a back-to-back, I can put in 5 fresh bodies that can make a lead, break a lead down, or take one further. It's a great thing.
Pascal is playing the most of anyone, and it's been around like 37, 36, 35. Mm-hmm. That's how most of the league typically goes. And what's been helpful for them is that when you have Christian Coloco, Precious Achiuwa, and Chris Boucher as your back line, you're playing zone defense. A lot of long arms. Very, very long arms. And then you, in the front, you have like a Malachi and Gary Trent. Like, this, your baseline defensively is so good. You might get some runouts out of that, some transition. And then on the other side of the ball, you know, you have Malachi Flynn, who's able to at least tap into a bit of his pick and roll game. And then if everything goes to SHIT, you have Gary Trent Jr., who is just a bucket getter. And so you can toss it off to him, even if it's like 8 possessions in your half court offense and you just are giving it to him, he's going to make 2 or 3. But your defensive baseline is so good. So usually, in most cases, I mean, we got to see this against other teams, but you're not going to get killed in a 4 or 5 minute stretch the way you were probably earlier on in the season. That's going to help your players get some more rest.
There's so much energy that they can bring as a unit too. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you throw in the factor that what they could do to the crowd, you know, the effect they have on the arena, on the home floor, because you got a whole second unit in there playing differently with a different energy, and they're getting to see guys a little bit more that they didn't used to get to see. You know, there's always, you know, people love Chris Boucher, people love Christian, people love Gary Trent Jr. when he's getting lots of shots, when he's scoring. Yeah. You know, it changes people want to see Malachi. Like,
they do.
Like, they want to see him. So now you get a chance to have this effect on the whole building from producing. Because there's another factor to it. You know, it's not just about them being great basketball players. It's like people came here to see them.
100%.
And I think that's a thing that, you know, it's kind of under, we don't talk about it enough because we want to talk straight about the basketball but like, think about what they do for the morale just in general. That's a different thing. It gives the other unit confidence coming back in the game, get real rest. Trust is built for the team over the year that's incomparable. And I think the more and more we can see them do that, the more we can see them produce and grow in that confidence, they can become their own mob. Like, they can be a mob in that type of thing, because people are going to have to plan for them. We got to be prepared for that.
Yeah.
And that changes the way other teams play. They take out starters earlier so they can be So now your starting lineup's better because they're getting starters out of the, because they want to be able to hold the punch from the second unit. There's so many different things that affect teams.
Definitely. And we haven't even talked about Wancho, but this style of play, this play style appeals so much more to his skill set. The shooting has been up and down a little bit, but I think it's reasonable to say that he is a fit much better into this kind of play style, into this kind of way of their offense. Even last night, there was a case where he cut baseline. OG had a nice little bounce pass to him and he got a layup out of it. Those were his only 2 points, but then he also had 2 assists on a few nice swing passes. He had 3 rebounds. Like, you're able to, you know, plop these guys in with this play style so much more effectively. And I think that's what you usually want. And the Raptors actually overall, they want to be able to just plop guys in and it shouldn't matter who's on the court necessarily, as long as you have a few of your staples. But playing this way allows everyone to be more effective.
Yeah, it creates opportunity, creates space, creates opportunity for guys to be able to make basketball plays, to be able to react and read what the defense is giving us. You give them a base set and you allow them to attack whatever they can attack. And everybody feels a part of it.
And he's good at that too. Precious Achiuwa is finding a bit of a groove. You know, it's only been a few games. He missed like 25 or so. He said that that's like the longest he's ever not played basketball during a season.
That's crazy, right?
Hard, man. 25 games. But look, over the next few years is, you know, what is Precious Achiuwa gonna be? And how do you make that happen? How do you make him exactly like a core member of the roster? And for him, you know, seeing him, you know, curling around screens and getting in the paint, attacking in transition, popping on threes, catching shoots, that's what they need from him. And there's reason to believe that he's going to be able to do that a little bit faster than I thought this season after missing so many games.
So with Precious, I think the biggest thing is about just catching him and giving him opportunities to get comfortable, even more comfortable, seeing him move right, seeing him be able to make plays, seeing his instinct starts to come out because he's starting to trust himself, his conditioning, and all the things, and falling in the rhythm. I think there's going to be some ups and downs offensively just from, you know, makes and misses, the leg standpoint. Still, it takes longer than, no matter what you're doing to get ready, you can be, to get, it'll give you a base, but you're still not going to be in game shape without playing games. Like in tip-top game shape, the way that guy can bring energy, the way he can be able to do things on the floor, it's going to take some time to get there to be able to do it consistently.
How long does it take? Like,
I don't know. I mean,
it'd be hard to say, but like, is it like 10 games? Do you start feeling like yourself more?
I think 10 is like almost high.
Yeah.
If we're playing, especially there's a lot of games, and when I first come back, there's a good stretch. I think a handful of games can really just kind of get you to a point where it's like, all right, now we got to start making this, stacking good games on top of good games.
CJ, another fun episode with you, sir. 3-game win streak. They take on the Atlanta Hawks tomorrow, and then they head on the road. And then at the end of the month, they're out for a West Coast road trip that is very, very, very nasty. It's a nasty road trip. But actually, last season, if we want to, you know, half glass full, this is where we were just like, okay, this team is actually starting to figure it out. I think they went like 4-2 on the 6-game road trip last season, and that's when they really started to cook. And they started making their way up the standings. Yeah,
they have not won on the road.
No, they're not playing well on the road.
Well on the road. No. So that's a big confidence booster too, because we know winning teams got to win on the road. Like the great teams got to win on the road. Like absolutely. You got to win a championship, you got to win on the road.
Definitely. It's all very important. So everyone listen to Mass Fresco, Apple Music, Spotify, wherever. And exactly. And Strictly Hoops. Hopefully, we're going to be back next week for another episode.
Especially.
Yes. Strictly Hoops especially. We are going to be back hopefully next week. And hopefully, we're talking about a few more Raptors wins and how great things are going. 5-game win streak, 6-game win streak, whatever.
Man, yeah.
Need it.
Can't win 4 till you win 3. Can't win 5 till you win 4.
Exactly. Kyle Korver, NBA legend. All right, everyone. Talk soon.
Yes.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.